The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Sam Altman comes up short in his bid to return to OpenAI. Plus, Israel and Hamas consider a deal to pause fighting and free hostages. And car companies ask, where is the EV love as sales plateau?
The jury is still out on this, whether the market has stalled or not. There's no doubt that the market is weakening, and the accumulating inventories are a sign of that, and the falling prices are a sign of that.
It's Monday, November 20th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin with an update on the boardroom drama at artificial intelligence leader OpenAI after ousted CEO and co-founder Sam Altman unsuccessfully staged a bid to be reinstated yesterday. On Friday, OpenAI pushed out Altman, citing unspecified actions by him that its board found to be hindering the company and that he wasn't being consistently candid in his communications after a series of clashes over the company's direction. That triggered weekend negotiations as employees and investors, including Microsoft, pushed for Altman to retake control. However, those efforts faltered Sunday, with the company instead naming former Twitch chief executive Emmett Shear as interim CEO, according to sources. And now, Microsoft has said that Altman is heading there to lead a new advanced AI research team. Well, after a dizzying weekend that has raised a lot of questions about the company at the center of the AI boom, Wall Street Journal tech reporter Sam Schechner is here to help us try and make sense of things. First, Sam, we've got to talk about the simple fact that Sam Altman is the one who's out here, perhaps the most public face of AI. What could have brought about something as drastic as this?
I mean, it's a very dramatic turn. We thought that the AI revolution was moving quickly. I mean, just the twists and turns in the last few days have blown everyone away. I was in the UK at an AI safety summit where Sam Altman was just earlier this month. I mean, he was out representing the company, and now he's out. People close to the board wouldn't say that there was a single precipitating incident, but that there was a rather a mounting loss of trust over his communications with them. One thing that has been happening in the background is that he's been talking about broader business deals, some kind of AI device, another venture to create chips that help train AI. So perhaps that was involved. There's also a brewing debate over the safety of AI. Was Sam Altman pushing to be too commercial for a company that was actually founded as a nonprofit aimed at making safe AI? There certainly are some people saying that that was in part what led to his dismissal.
And now Altman and OpenAI president Greg Brockman have landed at Microsoft, a company which had close to a 50% stake in OpenAI already. What should we be reading into Microsoft's actions here?
Well, already there's been this idea that Microsoft is playing both sides now in this dispute between OpenAI and its former CEO, but also just with OpenAI. I mean, OpenAI is starting to court business customers and in a way compete with its biggest investor. And yet Microsoft in part was reliant on OpenAI to help power its Azure products for its cloud business. And so if they can replicate some of what OpenAI or surpass it even internally, that's optionality for them.
We're already seeing Microsoft shares rising more than 2% in off-hours trading this morning following this news. We can assume Microsoft investors will be closely watching how this story plays out.
The emerging battle between Microsoft and OpenAI, or at least race, is interesting. You can kind of see a frenemy relationship starting to evolve. And this question between safety and commercialization will also be one that we'll start to see. If some within OpenAI were concerned that the company was moving too quickly to push towards AGI, artificial general intelligence, or to commercialize products, will Microsoft take a different approach? Will they be less careful? Because for the most part, people in Silicon Valley and in the tech world are all about moving quickly. They don't particularly like regulation. And yet with AI, you really see both top executives and people who are deep in the technology thinking, okay, wait a second, there are real dangers here we need to assess. And we're seeing that it's having repercussions in the business world and in the world of stock prices. It's not every day that you see questions that essentially are philosophical or even metaphysical affecting the stock market. But I guess that's a new one for 2023.
That was Wall Street Journal tech reporter Sam Schechner. Well, in other business drama, more advertisers are ditching social media company X. Apple, Disney, Warner Brothers Discovery, and other major entertainment players have become the latest brands to pause ads on the platform formerly known as Twitter after a media report said that ads were appearing next to pro-Nazi content. The advertiser exodus adds to the business challenges facing owner Elon Musk as the company loses users and revenue. A spokesman for X didn't respond to a request for comment. Meanwhile, investors are falling out of love with green and sustainable investments. Wall Street has yanked more than $14 billion from ESG funds this year, according to Morningstar, and the third quarter was the first time that more sustainable funds liquidated or removed ESG criteria from their investment practices than were added. This about-face comes as higher interest rates slam clean energy stocks and amid a growing political backlash against environmental, social, and corporate governance investing. And as Journal Climate Finance reporter Amrith Ramkumar told us, clean energy startups aren't just losing investor money. They're also struggling to get their hands on government funding.
Some of the startups are in catch-22 scenarios with the government where basically they're in talks to receive funding, but to receive that money, they have to raise outside cash, they have to show progress on their facility and that they can repay that government taxpayer loan. And a lot of them are struggling because the funding they need, they can't get because they're burning through their cash and costs are too high for those initial facilities. A lot of these companies are likely going to figure out some solution, but they're really in a tough spot. And we've already seen a lot of electric vehicle startups either file for bankruptcy or become in danger of doing so.
Coming up, Hamas and Israel close in on a deal to free hostages. And we'll look at whether the relationship between American drivers and electric vehicles is losing its spark. Those stories and more after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Are Americans falling out of love with EVs? It's a question that car makers probably didn't expect to be asking themselves after several years of rapid sales growth, and yet here they are, staring down unsold inventory and wondering what it will take to get more buyers into showrooms. Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street editor Stephen Wilmot has been tracking this potential downshift in EV excitement and what it means for manufacturers. Stephen, there is a graph in your piece of U.S. electric vehicle sales by month going back to 2020, and it is extraordinary. Could you just narrate this for us, what it shows, both this upwards slope in sales and whatever we've seen the last few months?
Absolutely. The EV market's been on quite a journey since 2020, and the popularity of Tesla has obviously been a big part of that. And then suddenly Tesla became profitable in 2020. And so other manufacturers woke up and accelerated their plans. GM said it was going to phase out internal combustion engines, got a lot of headlines for that. Then Ford got the Mustang Mach-E ready. So during 2020, the first part of the year, it was mostly under 20,000 sales a month and, you know, getting up to 25,000 or so the latter part of the year. But then, you know, the last 6 months of mainly been around the 100,000 vehicle a month mark. So fivefold increase over that time frame. It's been a very dramatic change. It's slightly exaggerated by the pandemic, but still.
Okay, so averaging around 100,000 the last few months, and yet we're not seeing quite the same upwards trajectory, leading a certain word, plateau, to be tossed around a little bit.
Well, I think the jury is still out on this, whether the market has stalled or not. It's not actually as obvious in the sales. They've tailed off a bit, sort of around the 100,000 mark. They don't seem to be breaking out of that bracket at the moment. But there's no doubt that the market is weakening and the accumulating inventories are a sign of that, and the falling prices are a sign of that. And the reason seems to be that EVs are coming up against affordability problems. Even though prices have come down a lot this year, they're still more expensive than other new vehicles. And then the other thing is that there are these inconvenience factors, so charging concerns. They're very convenient, extremely convenient if you have a garage and you only use it for commuting. And it's possible that the early adopters were A, fairly wealthy, B, had their own garages and they had their chargers installed. And then the problem is getting beyond that cohort of buyers to a more mainstream market where buyers essentially are going to be less enthused by the tech and more transactional about what is this technology going to give me and will I pay a premium for it? And the answer seems to be no.
This perhaps is why we've seen car makers cutting EV prices as much as they have been. And this is another really eye-catching graph in your story, which I'd encourage people to go check out. The average new price of vehicles over the last year, specifically for EVs, has really come down, seemingly just in a few months.
Yes, absolutely. It's really striking. November 2022, so a year ago, the average price, according to Cox Automotive, was almost $66,000 for a new EV. The latest data, say from October, was just under $52,000. So yeah, a huge move down. It's obviously been led by Tesla. They've had a very conscious strategy of cutting prices. I think they hoped for a slightly bigger demand response, but it hasn't happened, which is one of the reasons why it seems like the market is weakening.
And so, Stephen, where does that leave car makers? And will demand come back for these vehicles?
Well, car makers are in a real catch-22 situation with the EVs, because if they do invest, it's extremely expensive and they lose money on all these vehicles, particularly since these price cuts this year. But if they don't invest, then it looks like they've lost the strategic initiative. I think the only real solution is for the car makers to reduce costs. And Tesla's trying to do this and everyone else is trying to follow. So Ford says that its next generation F-150 will be quite a lot cheaper to manufacture. So these cost reductions on the one hand and the gradual build out of infrastructure on the other hand will gradually mean that more mainstream buyers will purchase these products and that will justify the huge investments they've made. The problem will work itself out in the end, but it will be very expensive and take a lot of time.
That was Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street editor Stephen Wilmot. Stephen, thank you so much for bringing us this story.
Thank you.
Israel and Hamas are nearing a deal brokered by Egypt, Qatar, and the U.S. to halt fighting and release some of the roughly 240 hostages held by Hamas. It is the most active diplomatic effort since Hamas's October attacks, which sparked an Israeli military campaign resulting in over 13,000 casualties, according to health authorities in the Hamas-run Gaza Strip. In one scenario for a five-day ceasefire, Hamas would release 50 hostages on the first day and then 10 for each day after that in exchange for Palestinian women and children held in Israeli prisons. However, a deal is yet to be finalized, with Israel and Hamas not able to agree yet on the length of a ceasefire. And Javier Milei, a self-described anarcho-capitalist, has secured an overwhelming victory in Argentina's presidential election on Sunday, claiming nearly 56% of the vote and defeating Economy Minister Sergio Massa. Milei's victory marks a significant shift for a country grappling with high inflation and rising poverty after years of populist leadership. And in his victory speech, Milei pledged to undo a state-led economic model, which he claimed had failed the country.
From being the richest country in the world, today we are ranked 130. Half of Argentines are poor and the other 10% are destitute. Stop this impoverishing model of the caste. Today we embrace the libertarian model so as to return to being a global power.
In addition to downsizing the Argentinian state, Milei plans to revamp the economy by adopting the U.S. dollar, eliminating the central bank, and favoring trade with capitalist nations like the U.S. over China. And that is What's News for Monday morning. Today's show was produced by Mohsen Ali and Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. Additional audio in this episode is from Reuters, and we'll be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.